Hello everyone and welcome back to another Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. My name's Tom Freer and today Josh and I are talking again about cybersecurity. This episode sort of comes after at least five or six, if not more, cyber incidents throughout Australia with some big names getting hacked and losing data. So we thought we'd touch on some of those key areas that all organisations need to focus on in regards to cyber. Such a hot topic, such an important topic, and can be a challenging thing to look at in your business. So hopefully you get some good insights from this episode.
Welcome to another modern workplace hacks with Tom and Josh. Tommy, how are you?
Have you got that right?
I don't know. We're just talking about a little trip next couple of weeks to Saudi, and we were working out if we can fit the podcast gear in or not.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to fit in the suitcase somehow.
We're going to take a little one.
Well, yeah, we'll be there. We'll be podcasting from Saudi, which is pretty exciting, actually.
It is. Yeah. It is. And, you know, we're going there to talk all things cybersecurity.
It's a black hat.
Yeah.
Which is a big event.
Very big. I didn't realize how big it was globally.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah,
massive. I've heard of it, but I never looked into it.
No, it's going to be good. So yeah, it's exciting. So we're doing our escape room there.
Yeah. Live, right in the middle, right next to the VIP area.
We've been told. So it's no pressure.
Yeah,
no pressure to make that work.
Well, it just shows that it's you know, can go anywhere, the old cyber escape room, and be relevant. And I suppose to today's topic. Which is
we're back on it.
What did we say? Seven in the last seven days.
Data or seven security incidents from major firms in the last 2 weeks. Maybe three, but
yeah.
Seven's a lot. They're the ones that have just been reported.
Yeah. I was gonna say that's the ones that are out in the media.
We got Optus.
Yeah.
We had Telstra, which was a third party breach, but still Telstra.
Medibank.
Woolworths. Energy Australia.
There we go.
Vino Mofo.
Yeah, I mean, lots. Not happy about BMO Mofo.
Lots. So and it's and they have to be publicised. I mean, I know obviously the media are jumping on it.
Yep.
But ultimately, they're still breaches, and they all fall within the the government mandates to report reporting.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a worry.
So where does it, I suppose, what's interesting in my mind is the question people ask me is, why is it all happening now? And I think that's a hard question to actually answer. And second to that is, Optus are getting it done, but what the hell should I be doing?
Well, that's the biggest issue, particularly when these big organisations are getting compromised in such a way. And the Optus one really highlighted around that. I mean, they got some issues internally, obviously, because some of that data quite obviously probably shouldn't have still been there.
Yes.
Which I think is – there's going to be, I think, changes around how data is stored. But as an individual, it's a little worrying. I have to go get my license redone.
Yeah.
I have to get a new license number because the impact is identity fraud. That's essentially what's – where these can go.
Yep.
And I think the scary thing is Medibank being hacked. Not Medicare, but Medibank, but that's health records as well. So
I've heard health records, credit card details, and personal information.
The one I saw, it was a 200 gig of data was lost.
Yeah, wow.
Which is pretty full on, and that's a fair amount of data, and for that type of organization, that's huge.
Yep.
And that has ramifications across the board. Regardless, you can get the shits and I'm cancelling my Medibank and I'm going to go to another health provider. Great.
Yep.
Your choice.
It's already done,
Your information's out there, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
It's not changing providers isn't going to fix your issue.
No.
And me changing from Optus to Telstra or Vodafone or someone isn't going to change the fact that my license number has been compromised, my whatever else has been compromised out there.
Yeah.
So individually it makes you think about, well, what should I be sharing and how should I be sharing data?
Mm.
I think that's a key thing.
So that's obviously like a new strategy now. Because as a business, we always sort of go, okay, as the fundamentals of, okay, I've got my marketing, I've got my accounts. But now, more importantly, is how do I interact with my data and my clients' data within my business has suddenly become very high up the
list. Very high up in the list. And I think it's important to really think that through as to what information do you actually need?
Yeah.
So we're a B2B organization, so we need business information. We don't need tax files. We don't need we don't need this private, personally identifiable information. I mean, the fact is we don't need date of birth or anything like that for most things. Some contract stuff will. So one, if you don't need it, don't capture it.
Good. That's good advice.
But, I mean, it's a balance because from a business marketing perspective, you kind of want to be understanding your demographics. So I understand why we've collected it in the past.
Yeah, database makes sense.
Yeah. So you can provide a better experience, but you might just get year and month. Don't worry. Day and month.
Yep.
Or just get month.
Yep.
And instead of targeting your customer, like I know from a consumer perspective, you might like to, you see the likes of Meijer and stuff like
send
that.
Send stuff on your
they
birthday.
They know your birthday, they send you stuff on your birthday. Well, maybe it's okay just to send it for the month of your birthday.
Yep.
So really rethink those sort of things.
Mm.
There's organisations, financial services, they have to collect that information for verification purposes.
Yep.
So particularly banks and mortgage brokers and funds managers and things like this, you're applying for a financial product. So, you have to provide that information and they have to collect it, but do they have to store it?
Yes.
So I think...
Valid. So it's thinking about how, if you do have to collect it, if it's critical, how you hold it.
How you hold it, I think, is really important. So, I mean, you probably, I look at a mortgage broker and I've just gone through doing a home loan, or investment loan, whatever it was.
Yep.
And the amount of information I had to give them was insane.
Them
it was through the roof. I need a copy of this and a copy, and I'm... Yep. How do you get it to them? Well, some of them, you're literally emailing it.
Yeah, people get them to text it to them. I've seen
mortgage
brokers work on
text
message.
So I'm sending emails and I'm going, well, I'm not overly comfortable with this, but you're not going to get a home loan if you don't send it through.
Yeah.
Okay, righto. Well, the question is, what are you doing with the information once I've emailed it through to you?
100%.
Where are you saving it? How are you storing it?
So
do you need to store
it? Email.
Is it going to sit in your email? If it's sitting in your email... Well, email is probably the least secure thing on the world, but I mean, hopefully you've got MFA in place and these sort of things. But that's the reality of it, and I think that's where the thought needs to happen. Okay, you've got to collect it, you've got to verify it.
Yep.
Do you need to keep it? Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe for a period of time, but wouldn't be long. I wouldn't have thought if I look at a broker.
Yep.
Once the application's done, approved, and the loan's issued. There should be no reason for that data to be kept anywhere.
It should be archived.
Should be deleted.
Yeah. Oh, well, they've got to keep it for 7 years.
Do they have to, keep that info?
By compliance, for mortgage brokers. But with that, there
but is... But what do they need? What's the specific things they need to keep?
Yeah, 100%.
They probably don't need a copy of my license, do they? They just have the form that entered it into.
Yeah, it's pretty much just if there's any issues down the road.
And I think that's critical in the process. And I think
I think all authorities and organisations need to be thinking
this way.
Yeah, yeah.
If you need to collect it, do you need to store it? How do you need to store it? What is the specific compliance requirement? You've got to keep it for 7 years. But do you really need to keep a copy of my driver's license with the photo back and front for 7 years? Because chances are it expires in between there.
I was going to say, probably not.
probably not. You may have need the license number and my date of birth at that particular time to fill out the application form.
Yeah.
And then you need to keep the application form.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, now that you're keeping that, how are you archiving it? How are you securing it?
Yeah. Which I think that's the conversation, isn't it? So number one is, do I need to? If I do need to, so if that's a yes, well, how am I?
Yep. And for how long? And and I think it's relevant for every organisation to ask why as well.
Absolutely.
Why do I need to keep that information? Yes, okay, there's compliance, but why do I have to keep a copy of that person's passport or their driver's license?
Like 100%.
I look at Optus. They've got my driver's license, right?
Yep.
And that was for an application.
Yep.
Okay, great. What's the purpose of having my driver's license now saved on file if I've already got an account?
100%.
And I've been a customer for X number of years. Now, I get it if there's a a fraud case and those type of things. It's probably those sort of things. Or this is the license. But how do they know that I provided that license and not someone else? And so it opens up this whole world of...
It's a can of worms.
And I haven't even looked. I haven't really delved into what are the compliance requirements. Yeah. But I look at it and go, well, really, what are you going to do with that in 12 months' time or 2 years' time? How relevant is that?
Yeah.
Particularly, and I even think it was past customers.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
They got their details stolen.
Yeah.
Why have you still, again, why?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's...
That's a conversation.
Yeah, it's challenging, super challenging.
Mm.
But this isn't going to go away.
No. So okay, so I think first couple we've got, which is I think really good, which is what are you collecting? Do you really need to collect it?
Yeah.
Number two, if you do need to keep it, how are you keeping it? And is there some things that you can delete, but some things you keep? On from that, like what are the other things that people, you know, obviously Optus is Optus. It's a massive organisation and there's that internal policy. But say, you know, a lot of people that we work with that, you know, maybe they've got 50 staff, maybe they've got 20 staff, maybe there's people listening with 3 staff. It's, I think you touch on MFA, which is an interesting one because email is.
Yeah. So there's like, obviously the technology elements that we always talk about and it's. Are your devices secure? Is your user account secure? So multi-factor authentication, device management.
Yep.
Think about where your data is being stored and how you're protecting that. So that applies across all organisation. I think what's highlighted is if you are hosting client data or hosting systems that clients have access to, or even if you're subscribing to a software as a service system that hosts this data, Have you looked at the security of that?
Yeah.
Penetration testing. There's things that, I mean, I'll take it, Office 365. You're not going to do a penetration test against Microsoft.
Yep.
No point. Like, it's just what it is. But you look at how you're accessing that or how you're presenting that information to clients, how you're sharing that data out. Because the reality is even a mistake can be classed as a breach.
Yeah, right. Okay, explain that.
So if I send an email... Okay, Josh, as my employee, has requested a copy of his payslip.
Yep.
I don't know. Which I don't think it has yet. It has some personal information in there.
But like not a
date of birth, whatever.
But still, whatever. Good example. Okay. Yep.
Someone's requested some information that has personal information on it.
Yep.
Maybe it's your accountant.
Yep.
Okay, you've requested information from your accountant. They're sending you your tax return, for example, which will have a hell of a lot of private information in there.
Yep.
When they send that email, they send it to the wrong Josh.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Technically, if they haven't got a way to recover that email and prove that it's recovered, that is a data breach.
Breach. Yeah, breach. I didn't even know that.
So that's personal information has been released from the organisation. So you as the organiser have to report it, obviously, to the person who was affected by it. I don't know if there's a limit on what has to be reported up the line, but that's technically a breach. Now, if you look at that at scale, say you were sending a mass email out to someone and you sent it to the To address instead of the BCC address.
Yeah, wow.
So you've now sent 100 emails out and you've given everybody on that email trail everyone else's email address.
That's
a mistake. Still technically a breach because you've now shared these email addresses, which potentially are, they may not be private, like they may be available, but you've just given it out without our consent and stuff like that. There's a whole range of things around that, or where we see, again, it might be I normally send an email to Josh and Damien.
Yep.
So I've sent the email and instead of typing Josh's correct email address, I've selected the wrong Josh and sent it out. We've all done that.
Yep.
I mean, depending 100%. What's on that, that's an issue.
Yeah.
So it's there's a whole lot of things that people need to be aware of and thinking about and helping their team understand those as well because they're probably things that the team don't even understand and they know it's an issue and a mistake, but they don't necessarily understand the potential impact.
Mm.
And that's the thing that needs to be spoken about and educated through as well.
Yeah.
There's tools and systems that can fix this or not fix it, but
help
minimize that risk.
Yep.
I think the key thing people need to keep in mind is there is not a silver bullet for any of this.
No.
This is not a go and put this in and you're done.
And I feel like a lot of people are searching for that at the moment.
It doesn't exist. It's not going to happen because
it's ever evolving.
It's ever changing. and we have people involved in the process who on any different day have a different different attitude, different mindset, whatever. And that's just people. I mean, they've had a blow up at home and they bring that to work and they suddenly don't care and they've accidentally sent that email.
Yep.
Whatever it is. Like, and a lot of it, I think you'll find, isn't intentional.
No.
And it's not malicious.
No.
In most of those.
Just
sort of
the consequences are getting bigger.
Consequences are getting bigger. Huge. And I'm not saying like Optus, that wasn't a malicious act, as far as I know, a malicious activity from anyone internally.
Yeah.
Someone made a mistake and left something open.
Yep.
Some kiddie hacker managed to find it.
Yeah.
Got in, got all their information.
Yeah.
Got shit scared and pulled back. But but that was, it was a breach, a significant breach, but it was a mistake.
Mistake, yeah.
So what could have prevented that? Maybe some additional change control, ongoing testing or things like that on the outside. What are hackers looking for? How often are we testing those?
Testing the
those
systems.
Entry points and the tests and those points there. And educating, that was potentially a developer at that case. So are we educating our developers around secure by design and things like that? We're obviously, we got to educate our staff on security and consequence and risk and all that and awareness and all those sort of things. But, yeah, there's not one silver bullet and it is evolving.
Yeah, yeah.
And the threats are evolving as well.
Absolutely.
So the ones we've seen publicised, I think have been, they've been hackers getting in to get that information.
Yes.
Maliciously or otherwise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess any hack's malicious in that sense.
Mm,
What could the organisations be doing? I don't really know because we don't know the technology. We don't know how they're monitoring. But there would have to be some things that hackers just don't get in.
No. I was going to say, there's something that's been left open or something that is, accidentally.
And it might be, I mean, Uber, they got hacked a couple of months ago and that was from a compromised account.
Yep.
That was someone's username and password got found out.
Mm.
They actually had two-factor authentication, but the hackers managed to socially then engineer to get the code from the person who they hacked. Now they're in VPN. And they're in the system and they're in for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. We've seen instances where the hackers have been in the system for days or weeks or months, prepping, finding, searching, doing stuff.
Yeah.
You've got to invest in technology to be able to help try and identify it. Can't guarantee it.
No.
But that's where technology comes into it. But someone's got to be watching it, got to be assessing it, you've got to be thinking about it, you've got to be thinking like a hacker and potentially looking at your organization and thinking about where I'm vulnerable.
Yep.
And it's not going to be, like I look at us, our vulnerability isn't our firewall.
No.
So doing a pen test every year isn't going to help us reduce our cyber risk because there is nothing on the other side of that firewall that's accessible in that sense.
Mm.
Our risk is user management.
Yep.
Accounts, making sure the user's secure and every interaction that user does is audited, is logged, those logs are checked.
Yep.
Is there anomalies in their usage? Mm. Those type of things. So that's a different, you've got to be looking at that.
Yep.
Understanding and baselining how people use the system.
Yep.
And then identifying anomalies
and
investigating those.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's fine.
100%.
Technology plays in that process, people, the whole thing. But it's there's not one thing. Yes, there's a baseline of stuff that has to happen.
Yeah.
Has to happen. And that needs to be continually evolved and looked at as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
One thing I want to, and you mentioned it before, but one thing that's been coming up a bit, which is, oh, that's my vendor's problem. And I think it's something that irks me a little bit because if you're collecting it, you're responsible for it, irrelevant of where it is. And I think people go, oh, no, I use HubSpot. All that information's in HubSpot. So if HubSpot gets breached, that's HubSpot's problem.
I think
we need to
I
want to call this out because people are saying, oh no, that's my vendor, and I think it's where people need to take responsibility for the fact that they collected it, they entered it, they're responsible for it,
and you're
it's
right,
asking those vendors those questions,
asking the vendors the hard questions. But you will use HubSpot, for example. If you've set up HubSpot in your business but you haven't put MFA on any accounts,
yep,
and that gets compromised,
yep,
well, what's to say it didn't come and get compromised by your account?
Absolutely. There you go.
So good example. They're the type of thing. So all well and good to say, and we see it with financial systems and medical systems and things like this. Yeah, we're collecting personal information, but we're storing it in this vendor over here. Okay, that's great. You know where it's being stored. You're still entering that data.
Yep.
There's a process in your business for that data to be captured and to be entered. How do you know that you've got to be confident that the way you access that system is secure?
Yep.
You can't necessarily verify everything the way that software is developed. And there is still a risk that exists with them getting compromised.
Yeah.
But it doesn't negate the fact that if they get compromised and it's your client's data that gets released, that's still an impact on you as a business.
Absolutely.
From a reputational perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to have a plan and a process in place to how to deal with that.
Yep.
So you might not technically be able to deal with it. That's fine, and you will be in those situations, and you'd expect to be in those situations.
Yes.
But you have to be in a position as an organisation to be able to respond to the incident from the impact from your client's perspective.
Yep.
You've entered all this health information into a third-party system. Great. You can confidently tell your client base that this is how you secure your access to it, and this is what you're doing as a business and educating. Mm. Unfortunately, this happened on the other side where we have no control.
Yep.
This is what's happened. This is what's been released and all that sort of stuff. Mm. So as an organisation, you still have to be responsible for that
100%.
Notice to your staff.
Yeah, yeah.
Your clients. The last thing you want is for them to find out that you're using that system and all their data's been stolen. You haven't told them.
Yep.
So it's a balance. Like it's a scary proposition.
Yeah, but I still think people need to own it.
Need to own it. Ultimately,
people going, oh, I don't hold any data. Someone else holds it for me.
Yeah, I don't think it cuts it.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't. It doesn't cut it. Yeah.
You've got to understand where it's stored. You've got to understand the process of where it's being stored. You don't necessarily know the technology and how that's working on that other side.
Yeah.
But you need to be asking them the questions
100%.
About how that's stored to make sure that you've gone through that process to feel confident that it's right.
Yeah.
How are they securing it? Well, I'll use Microsoft as an example. Everyone stores their data on Microsoft.
Yeah.
How are we confident that Microsoft are looking after the system? Well, we can get access to every quarterly report they run on how they've done their ISO certifications or their scans and all that sort of stuff. They're all provided, reported, available.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we can do as an organization is go, well, we've seen it, we've reviewed it, we've got confidence that it's happening.
Mm.
We're not 100% confident that they're never going to get hacked because you can't be.
Yeah, you can't be.
And an organisation that size is a target. There's no doubt about it. But they're investing billions of dollars in security.
Yeah. Yep.
As an organisation, we're not investing billions of dollars, so we are leveraging that requirement. But as an organisation, for us and our clients, we've got to make sure that we're using the technology that they're developing correctly.
Yeah, and
to
deploying make sure it's correctly as well.
And deploying correctly.
So if Microsoft says, hey, you must have this authentication around the
recommendations,
you
need to have multi-factor authentication on every account.
Yep.
If you choose not to have that, that's a conscious choice on you to not have that.
Mm.
So there's no blaming anyone else if that hasn't been implemented.
Yeah.
It's essentially mandated on every new tenant now. So, I mean, we're quite, you have to have it. And if you don't want it, we're probably going to ask you 15 questions as to why to try and come up with, there's no real business need not to have it.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, it's really hard for the users.
Yeah.
Stiff.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
Honestly.
It's really hard for users to get their data back too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and that's sort of it. So, the decisions are now, okay, it's a little frustrating sometimes to have to enter that code in again.
Mm.
I think I'd rather enter the code than have my email compromised.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the flow-on impact to that is significant.
Mm.
Huge.
Mm.
Yeah. So those are the things. So it's, I don't know what the question was in the end.
No, it's good.
I think we're getting there.
I think it's offloading.
Well, oh, it's the
offloading the blame to vendors.
You can't offload the responsibility.
Yeah. It just seems something that people say a lot when you talk to them and you go, oh, no, I don't need to worry about security. My data's all kept in XYZ, yeah. Right?
No, that doesn't.
And
doesn't
I think that doesn't cut it anymore because you have to have a number one, you need to have a response plan on
incident response plan. If something happens, how critical. Do you communicate that? How do you get that out there?
Yeah, and then you need to understand it. Even if you don't understand it completely technically, you need to at least be asking the questions.
Correct. So and that's important. All and that's all you can do at times is you can only ask the questions.
Mm.
How are you doing this? I mean, we do for clients what we call third-party vendor assessments.
Yes.
So that's about asking the client suppliers questions around their security. Mm. Now, we've got no mandate, no thing that those responses come back truthful.
Yes.
However, it's the process that you have to go through to at least get them thinking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, these guys are serious. They're asking for this information.
Mm.
Do we have it or don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, well, no, we don't have it, but we'll go and implement it.
Yep.
Okay, well, great. I don't, whatever, that's cool. Go and do that. But your insurance now asks for it.
Absolutely.
And they're going to start, and I know they're going to start mandating that you have certain things in place before they'll issue cyber insurance.
Yeah.
Things like MFA, firewall protection, but awareness training for your staff.
Yep. Yep.
It's going to be
everyone needs to
if it's going. If it's not mandatory now, and I know it's mandatory under ISO and APRA compliance and things like that, but it's the biggest risk to most businesses.
Yeah, human
is,
error
is the human error.
Yep.
And the human element. So, which is still neglected.
Yep.
And
it's the easiest one to fix.
Yeah,
it's not technical
hence why
at
we
all.
Go. Hence why we're going to Saudi to present and do our thing for 12,500 people or whatever it is. Like it's such a topical thing, it's a cost, there's no doubt about it, but the cost of training and educating and continually testing your staff
is
far less than the cost of a compromise because someone clicked the wrong link or downloaded the wrong file or sent the email to the wrong person. Now, we're not saying that is 100% guaranteed not to happen,
but
it will significantly reduce the chances and risk of that happening.
Yeah.
And then you've coupled that with technology, making sure you've got bulletproof virus software or malware protection and all that sort of stuff, making sure we're doing things on email that are smart and looking for spoofed emails and phishing emails and that type of stuff. So the technology's getting better and there's new tools that need to be started to consider, but the threats are continuing to evolve as well. So these tools will continue to change. And I say that, I mean, I've spent the last couple of months reevaluating antivirus software.
Yeah,
what's the right tool to use? What's the best protection for clients? All this sort of stuff. And there's the stuff we've got in place now is good. No doubt about it. Like we're using very much the Microsoft path, and it's a great platform, and it ticks a lot of the boxes.
Yeah.
But what I've started to uncover is it's not 100%. Nothing's 100%. And I'll say that. But there are other tools out there now that provide
support,
another level of protection,
or
a faster detection method, and things like that. So, they're the type of things that we're constantly evaluating to make sure that our systems are right, what we're offering our clients is right. We've got a new tool that we're looking at, which will do more advanced phishing and spoofing detection for emails, and provide users insight into why this is a phishing email. So they can start to learn and help change their behavior as well.
Yeah.
So there's tools out there that we're looking to roll out and implement.
Yeah. Exciting.
To do that stuff. But everything's evolving, everything's changing, and you need to be adaptable to that.
And I think the big message from my point of view is just keep asking questions.
Keep asking questions.
Because it's not going anywhere.
Yep. And just it's not, and it's pretty scary. We're in the game.
Yeah.
We kind of know a lot, but do you think the amount of information that's been lost in the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Yep.
That's a worry.
Significant amounts.
And it's not going to stop. And they're just the ones we know about.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They're just the ones that we've been.
There's probably people in organisations right now and they don't even know they're in there.
Yeah. Interesting.
Thanks, Tommy.
No worries. See you next time, Josh.